tonight. As the week rolls by, we will conclude it. Ephesians chapter 4.
Paul's thorn in the flesh and yours.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 4. In verse 11, he gave some apostles with the E. Of course, he's talking about the Christ. Because he's talking about the gifts of Christ. That is the context of Ephesians, the gifts of Christ. That gift you have inheritance, in that gift you have the exceeding greatness of his power. In that gift of Christ, you have the hope of his calling. So the context of Ephesians would be the gift of Christ, or I don't know, I'll put it better, but I think the gift of Christ suffices. Hallelujah. And so he said he gave gifts. Then he says he gave some apostles, Ephesians 4:11. Look at the Bibles now. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, am I right? Eh? And some pastors and teachers. Of course, I think we have a teaching that deals with this in a bit. And we said, some have said that he has five-fold ministry. Some have said four. Well, in the real sense, if you understand, the ministry gifts, the church of Christ, I think we won't have that, bottleneck, as it were. The debacle of, which is it four, is it five, is going to be eradicated, as it were. I think you already know the answer. Is it four, is it five? I don't think so. I think we just have ministry gifts. Hallelujah. We're teaching this with that. Church and the ministry gifts. I think it's about seven tracks? Five? Hallelujah. So, you don't have to argue four or five or two or one or eight. If some people can have it, you'll be shocked. I'll tell you, bring it up from. Some people think reverend is a ministry gift. Then you now have most superior bishop. Or mostly bad reverend doctor. You know? And you find people just want you to call them many names. You can invite to the podium Pastor Adale Poko, Michael. And then he goes and say, just not to be modest, I was ordained as an archbishop 85 years ago. So I don't think I'm a pastor. Hallelujah, the glory of God. Really, I you can't even raise a cockroach from the dead. You know? You can. So, again, pastor, evangelist, whatever you are, whatever of you, are all ministry gifts focused on teaching. So he said he gave, look at the verse 11, he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then he mentioned in verse 12, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. And so, whether you are the governor of the body of Christ, he says your job description is clear. For the equipping of the saints. The version says as perfecting, which is okay, because the word equipping or perfecting there is the word katatismos. It means to furnish something, to prepare something well. Hallelujah. And so he says, the reason why we have pastors, the reason why we have evangelists, the reason why we have prophets, is for the perfecting of the saints. So that the saints can be well equipped. So it shows you that we can have a saint who is not equipped for the ministry or for the work of ministry. We can have a believer, he's a believer nonetheless, he's a believer in Christ, he's a believer in the redemptive work of Christ. What did he say again? He's going to heaven. But you know what? He's not equipped, you know, for the work of ministry. So, you know, I've heard people just talk anyhow about pastoring. Because of the withdrawal, saying that was just the pastor, that you can pastor, that there's nothing there in pastoring, that you just read his Bible. You just read his Bible and you start preaching. And this verse came to my, you are not even perfect for the work of ministry. General work. You know when they say general sanitation? You are not perfect yet. You are not being cute for outreaches. Then you want to grab the mic and you are just going to make people your lab rats. And you know what? Everybody has an audience. Hallelujah. Alright, so, everybody has an audience. Whether you are saying rubbish. I saw one poster. Who bribed my angel? and I bet my jam was spinning. Operation fire for fire, in bracket. Yeah, attacking someone's brand. Something like that. Hallelujah. You know, and these other people say they want to start church. They're going to start. You know what? They're going to have members. And they're going to have people who say pastor, sir. They're going to have people who are going to bow at their feet. They're going to have people who are going to lick their boots. Hallelujah. But are they equipped? No. So he says, we have pastors, we have evangelists. He's saying, God is not going to train you. God is not going to train you. God is not going to come. You are not going to be taught of God. Some people think that's a new level of Christianity. Nobody taught me. You're a foolish person. He said, nobody taught me. I knew it on my own. Say, no man ever taught me. And then they quote Paul. They quote Paul. Because the revelation he had, the same Paul that said, I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. You know how many years? After he had the revelation, he got out with Jesus. He went to spend 15 days with James and Peter. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, he says, we have pastors to teach. So he killed the saint. And he said, he killed the saint for what? For big brother. Or he killed the saint, he killed the saint, brother, for talent show. He killed the saint for business. He killed the saint for the business world. To flourish. For the work of ministry. For the perfection of the saints. For the what? For the work of ministry. And he says, for the building of the body of Christ. He has, you have ministry gifts, pros, that is for, that is, what pros means, in the light of, this necessitates this. So when you have pros like that, it means this necessitates this, or this will bring along this. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's what pros, this will bring along, that's what you have for. So, you remember the way he explained it in 2 Timothy 3:16. All spiritual humanization of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Post, right? Post correction, right? Post rebuke, correction, then rebuke, then instruction, righteousness. That makes sense. That makes sense. The LSO, then the correction. Okay, so the rebuke comes on. Post, that is, the doctrine will bring about conviction. The conviction will bring about correction. Is it making sense? So when he says, how many get what I just said now? Alright, good. So, you get it? Alright, so when he says, you have ministry gifts, it is pros, that is, the reason why you have ministry gifts is to bring about perfecting of the saints. You have ministry gifts in the light of equipping the saints. No pastor is called to raise millionaires. That's a miscall. Every point is intended. Alright? That's a missed call. You are not called to raise the next generation of politicians who are going to change Nigeria. Don't worry. APC is going to do that for you, or PDP, or MPC, or NNPC. You are called for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints for what? For the work of ministry. What will the work of ministry do? It's going to build up, edify, oikodomio. It's going to build up the body of Christ. Then it says, verse 13. See, we all come in the unity of the faith. Is that what's in your Bible? Come on, is that what's in your Bible? Alright, good. So it says, see, we all come in the unity of the faith. Unto what? Alright, let's go read verse 13 together. Looks like you're verse something else. Everybody want to go? See, we all come in the unity of the faith. And the Lord, the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine by the spirit of men, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things, which is the even Christ. That makes sense. So it says we have a goal in mind. We are going to go to the full knowledge, the full measure of the stature of Christ. Praise God. I'm going to know as I'm known. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to know as much as I'm known. That's what he said. And so, we have a goal in mind. And so, he said, till then, we keep on learning through the ministry gifts. The saints keep on being perfected for the work of ministry. And the body of Christ is growing till we all come in the knowledge. Praise God. He says, when we come in that knowledge, we are no more children. And so we have believers who are tossed today. So we have believers who can be tossed to and fro. It shows you that one of the hallmarks of spiritual growth is stability. One of the hallmarks of spiritual growth is what? Stability. I think I taught you, I don't know which of the growth or spirituality, but I taught it one of it, right? When I talk about steadfastness. Right? That is the opposite of falling from grace will be what? Steadfastness. I don't remember that. Is it this year? Last year? Upper year? Upper year? There's something about stability. Stability shows that you are growing. You are not here and there. On the 17th to 18th. So 17th of February to 17th of April, Christ Embassy. On the 18th of April to 19th of July. From 20th of July to maybe you should post it. From 20th of July to 20th of September. 20th of September is the end of September. Seriously. You know, you are not just us, you are the closer. Hallelujah. Stability shows you growing. Not just stability in what you do, stability in how you get to know it. And by that I mean the number of teachers you got. I was talking to your face yesterday. You are just laughing through some silly folks. You know, the truth is if you go on the internet, you can have as many pastors as you want. Because you are going to see many pastors. Probably except me. I don't think I get to push anything as it were. Or write a long or short article. Probably I would try. But I don't. And so you can ask me that and say, the pastor I read is when your pastor is not doing something, you have to be giving yourself brain. Hallelujah. Sometimes, in the bid to say hunger, what you're actually demonstrating is impatience. Impatience and not knowing boundaries. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You think you just want to know, I want to grow. If you want to grow, GAC Media is there. The truth is you have not finished listening to every message then. I'm pretty sure there's nobody here who has finished listening to all the messages then. If you are, let me see your hands. You have finished listening to everything we have. And the truth is you will never finish it. One light to light. You won't finish it. I say, is that a threat? Call it what you want. Hallelujah. You can't finish it. Age is on our side. Else is preserved. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Ghost. We keep teaching. Stay with what you have been taught. There are people who can have a lot of knowledge and are still tossed. There are different stages of this growth. Why someone is complaining or his life is that he doesn't even know that his salvation is eternal. We now have a set of camp. They know that salvation is eternal. But you know, if we had camp, we now have universalists. We now have the one who say, God, salvation is eternal. You know salvation is eternal. I say, God can kill. We have the one who say, God cannot kill. We now have the one who say, if we say God can kill, the question is what? You see where we are? And so, if you are not a very discerning Christian, I talked something some years ago, how deception happens. If you are not a very discerning Christian, you will fall prey just by saying, I know what this pastor teaches and what it stands for. The truth is, you don't know. Hallelujah. You don't. And so, you have to be a careful intaker, as it were. If there's anything like that. Not touched to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every doctrine excites you. Everything that teaches Christ excites you. You are the one that wants to know about eternal salvation. You are the one that wants to know about Genesis. You want to know about Exodus, everything. And the one your pastor has not touched, you want to know about it. It means you are just being naive. And naivety is a trait for kids, or trait of kids. You are being naive. As I call one of those I used to disciple many years ago. Like, say many years ago, I'm talking about, say, 7 years. So I used to disciple the person in Ibadan. And one of the days I was fortunate enough to go on Facebook. Very happens, yeah. These days, I used to like it. So, one of those days, I just said it was like it. Many posts, really, every post I saw, almost literally, his name, Kiniko and 20 others like this. Why are you reading the past? You always like all the posts. And so, I rang him up. I said, you like the post that said so. Yeah, I was thinking. Can you see? I was thinking that it's true. I was thinking that it could be true. Then I started stabling his point. I said, was this what you learned before? Was this what you knew before? He said, no. So, right in his head, two things are conflicting. A bundle of truth you already established in, and then a new truth, which could be true, a new truth, which you are not establishing, and you already liking it. It shows you are never convinced of what you already knew. Hallelujah. You can't see any of your leaders here doing that. If there's any, it doesn't take anything for you not to be a leader again. It's not eternal salvation. Abi? Abemo? They know. They know it's not gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not like that. I wasn't trained like that. I don't train people like that. I just go about patching. Patching on every food. When you're not asked to like, praise God. And so, one of the very core, one of the spine of spiritual growth is that you are stable. Or the spine is stability. Stability in knowledge and stability in how the knowledge comes. Praise God. Praise God. Learn something. Alright. So, I'll probably continue from there. So, we said, why do we have pastors? To train the believer. Come on. Is it to train the believer? Okay. To train the believer to be successful in business. Eh? Why? Why? Okay. To train the believer to be a good entrepreneur. Eh? Okay. To train the believer to grow his talents. To discover his God-given potential. To bring it out from within. To bring it out. Just bring it out. Hallelujah. Is it that one, pastor? Yes. I see someone preach the parable of the talents. If you are a wise pastor, you know that talent was not talking about talent. Someone said he buried the talent. And I said, you can bury your talent. Listen, read it. Can't be that. Read it, talent. The thing he's thinking is talking about. Hallelujah. Accept the truth. Hallelujah. So we said, the church exists for knowledge. And so, we want to go on a spree. A teaching spree. And I said, we'll be zeroing in on Paul's thorn in the flesh. Why I said all I said earlier? Is because there are various teachings on this already. I mean, you are going to find a whole lot of people talking about this. In fact, some people class it as one of the greatest questions of Christianity. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? I don't see what's great about that question. But let's look at it. Praise God. Again, if your naivety makes you go online and go and start searching, congratulations, you can. That's why I taught someone casting out demons in 2014. You are there, you knew about it. He ended up in E1, psychiatric world. After teaching him casting out demons. I don't know the name of demons. He began to know. I didn't teach him the name of demons. I didn't teach him Zucubus, Incubus, Maccabus, Maccabesis. I didn't teach him all those things. He now went to Google. Is that Googling? Name of demons. Demon. How they look. Anatomy of demons. Isn't the game a long time. I think after like 3 days, he started seeing things. You, I command you. You know, he's on the street. So he's not seeing Malua in front of him. Empty Malua. I command you, Zucubus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Zucubus.
And that becomes the psychiatric word.
God let up and I asked him, I said, that means to you? He said, no. Then he was on another told me that he went to Google.
And so, if you want to, I'll go to Facebook, there are a lot of teachers there.
Alright, so what do we have? Paul stone in the flesh. Tell me what is your story.
Let me something.
Huh? Alright. Tell me what is your story.
Hopefully we'll get somewhere today.
So we read from verse 7 to 10. And I want you to pay attention. Verse 7 to 10. Are we ready? Want to go? That's not everybody.
You have a Bible?
Why?
Huh? Okay, since you knew we were going to come to church, you should have come with your Bible.
Okay, next time.
Huh? Larry, you have your Bible, brother.
Good. Alright. Tell me again, so, verse 7 to 10. Want to go, everybody? The message of Satan to prepare me.
For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect for weakness. Most glad therefore, wherever glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, and I have heard that this stone in the flesh, it has been misused and used by many Christians. Majority of the parties support that the stone in the flesh is sickness. And many people said it could be, it's a counter in Acts 9, where, a bright light shone on his face, right? Come on the road to Damascus, right? You know, and that means that probably had eye issues after that time. That Paul could not see well. But I've seen it demonstrated in some movies. Someone even said that's why he called himself Paul the agent. So that cannot see. That Paul had like something like cataract or glaucoma. You know, and I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that's the case. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, Satan has also used that to deceive many that Paul sought the Lord thrice to remove it from him. And that so that means that some sicknesses that God puts in people's body and that you can pray and the Lord will not remove it. How about that? That's some doctrine, right? Because Paul said, I sought the Lord thrice that he might remove it from me. And he didn't. But what God said was that my grace is what? Eh? So that there are some sicknesses that can happen, that is the will of God. That so that Paul will not be exalted above measure. Yeah, it's funny to me why I'm saying it, because it looks like almost the opposite of the Bible. They should write another Bible for that kind of explanation. But while growing up, there was this man that was born blind. He's a prophet. I've heard many, say many things about him. You know, he performed a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. A lot, in fact. He is blind, he healed the blind. How about that? The number of blind he probably healed in his lifetime were over 100. I mean, people that were blind that he made to see. But he himself is blind. Hallelujah. He had quite a lot of supernatural things in his ministry. At the point someone went to his office and wanted to write something. He told the person to help him write something. And so there were a lot of pen. You know the way people put pen inside cup. So they had like about 20 of those pen. And then, so the person just took one of the pen and said, why did you take one that is not writing? Why did you take one that is not writing? That out of the 20, about 20 or 21 pen. And that's the one that is not writing. And the person tested the other pen. They were all writing. Truly, that was the pen I was not writing.
So imagine talking to this kind of man. Your sins are revealed. Just say, your life, this is your life. Ah, it's not that. And so he had a lot. And so some people started raising things and said, that maybe the reason why, he was born blind was so that he would not be proud. And so that, the revelation God has given him, or the gift upon his life, the call of God upon his life, he can maintain it and not use pride to overrun it. I believed it then. Probably I was 12, 13, 14. I believed it then because I felt, come on. It can be true, right? Because I don't know if I can tell you that pen is not right. Probably you'll be proud, right? Something like that. That's ESC. That's Job 42, 5. I have heard it by the end of the year. Hallelujah. If you know what I just said, now you shall not become church on Sundays. So for Cyrus, God does not give sicknesses. I think we already dealt with that on Sunday in our series, right? Right? God does not give sicknesses. He didn't even have to have attended Sunday services recently. If you have listened to Explaining God in Christ, Dialect of the Prophets, and some of our other teachings, God does not make people sick. I say it again, and I don't stand corrected. God does not give people sicknesses. Again, we are able to explain, we are able to trace where sickness could have come from, right? That was last two Sundays, right? Alright, when the teaching comes out, Theology in Bad Times. That's like, Theology in Bad Times, you can, lay your hands on it. Praise God. So God does not give, in fact, in the Old Testament, Moses called sickness a curse. And what God does is to bless, alright? Moses called it a curse, a failure of the body. So, Jesus does not make a single person sick. Not one. No, not one. Not one person. Not one person. If there are people that you should have made sick, the Pharisees will make the list, merit list. Rather, it was even the one that was killed. How about that? You have told the Almighty God, when they speak against him, they should just go blind. Right? Look at the soldiers. When he was being crucified, they were using his clothes to do two odds. Over 4.5. Over 9.2. Hallelujah. They tore his robe. I said, oh yeah now. Yeah. If I wrote 3-3, I'll take the upper limb. I'll say upper limb. I'll take the shirt. The designer shirt of Jesus. I said, hey, sis. You know, I don't even look at them. You know, you didn't do anything. And that's the Almighty God. It shows you that it's not in the nature of God to inflict people with sicknesses or diseases. Hallelujah. God doesn't kill. Everyone wanted to kill Jesus when it was true, right? What did God do? God ran away. He told Joseph in the dream, take the Almighty God. Run to Egypt. Hallelujah. You have just said, you know, in the almightiness of God, I just said, Herod, you, to me. When were you created? You, to me. Okay? Up, down. If you know you are God, there will be some drama on the earth. But thank God you are not God. Only that he lives in you. At least you are not him. Praise God. Alright, so again, Jesus did not make a single person sick. They spat on him, they cursed him. They spoke against his ministry, they rejected him. Yet, no single person was sick. So, that is tested already. So what we then need to look at Paul's stone properly. So what then can now be Paul's stone in the flesh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are looking at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Corinthians 12. That is 2 Timothy 3. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 12. Again, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So firstly, we can deduce that the thorn in the flesh was given to him because of what? And you know reading. Because of what? Abundance of revelation. Good. So again, the thorn in the flesh that Paul had was given to him because of what? The abundance of revelation. In that sense, sickness is the last thing to think of. Because really, there's no, I don't think sickness is consequential abundance of revelation.
Why do you say this?
I don't think because you have revelation of who you are in Christ and everything, sickness is now what is given to you. It doesn't make sense to you.
Except you have just stayed in some circles for too long.
And also, it brings some people's ideology to nothing. Because we've seen people that don't have a single syllable of revelation. And then they claim to have a thorn in the flesh too. And they have Paul's thorn in the flesh. Again, as I said earlier, in the beginning of this teaching, that Satan has used this to also deceive many. In the sense that he tells them that Paul had a thorn in the flesh that was a sickness, and that he besought the Lord thrice, and God did not remove him. And so in that sense, they too can have a sickness, and they keep asking God for healing, and they will never get it. Right? But we need to look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. Again, we said, it's because of what? Secondly, the scriptures of God teach that God humbles a man with sickness. Like I said, that's anti-scriptures. Because he said, because of the abundance of revelations that was given to me in the tongue of flesh. The Bible doesn't teach that when God wants to humble a man, he gives him sickness. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6, 1 Peter 5 6, what the Bible teaches is that humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And in what? In what? He will lift you, will exalt you. I don't think he needs to know that Bible verse. For his response to what I just said. I just said, humble yourself and I do like this. So he will fly you. Alright, so he will lift you, will exalt you. James also said the same thing. James 4. And so the Bible doesn't teach that God humbles a man. Rather, humility is on the is in the poverty of man, as it were. It's man's responsibility to humble himself. Good. Also, observe that verse 7 very well. 7 Corinthians 12. He said, let us be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Then read ahead. What did he call the thorn in the flesh? The what? The messenger of Satan. So, thank God for clarifying the issue. It is not God's doing. So whatever was the thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. Clear? 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 You don't you? Remember that joke? Alright, so whatever was a thorn in the flesh or Paul's thorn in the flesh, it was what? A messenger of Satan. He said that he may what? Beset me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. What does he say? It means to strike repeatedly. To strike something repeatedly. The only example that comes to my head is, I know I've been to the beach before. Or to the seaside. Any sense? Okay, quite a number. Alright, so if you have been to the seaside or to the beach before, you know the way sea waves continually strike the shore. Right? And that one is finishing. Another one is coming. Right? Aha, so. You see, Paul is saying, because of the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Before he started talking about anything, he said, it's a message of Satan. So that he can strike me repeatedly. And like some people said, I gave an example earlier, some people said it's Acts 9 experience. Excuse me? I mean, it's Acts 9 experience, where you had the light, and then you had eye issues. It's a way people can never read anything to the Bible. You know? If you say something like movie, what do you say about God? Even God will be shocked. Alright, so it says that he may buffet me. Now, let's read on. Therefore, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said what? My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect. It's made perfect in weakness. Now, because of that weakness, it makes it easy for sickness to come in. Yeah. Then in our continuation, most gladly I would rather glory in what? I would rather glory in my infirmities. And so, many people said, by using weakness and infirmity in the same breath, that Paul most likely is talking about sickness. And it appears so. Right? Because he mentions weakness, then he mentions infirmity. Now, let's leave the weakness. Let's focus on infirmity. Because weakness can be anything. Let the weak say I'm strong. I think that when you let the weak say I'm strong, then comes to this place and say, but when I'm weak, I'm strong. Hey! And that's the reason when people are not feeling too well. Where were you on Sunday? I was strong. You are strong. That's the reason why you should be in church. You are strong. He said, yeah, I was strong. Pastor, I was strong. You are strong. There's a time that happened, right? Who was that? Sorry. I think that happened, before. The only thing the Sunday said is, I called her to meet me. Where were you this morning? I'm strong. I can see. Very strong. That's why you should have made it early before everybody because you are too strong.
That's not it.
And you're about to have that thing. When you're not very boxed up, and there's no much cash flow, I have too much plenty money. I said, I'm not giving you anything there. I gave my dad one day. He said, how far now? Oh, follow me. I said, that's beautiful. Send me money. He said, I don't understand. You said you have plenty of money. Please, share me 150k, briefly. There's nothing. He didn't say you will deny the mountain. He said you tell the mountain to go. Right? He said, you will say to the mountain, there's no mountain. Mark 11:23. Right? He said, you will say to this mountain, you are no mountain. Then you will tell the mountain. That means you acknowledge that there's a mountain. Or that, if you are not feeling too well, you can just say, there's this headache. But I pray it. I'm trusting God. Still there, though. I believe it's going to go, right? And I'm strong. So when healing doesn't come, you already say, I'm strong. Healing goes back. He's strong. When money doesn't come, he said, I will follow him. Next person. Just kidding, no. That's not doctrine. I don't want to write a book on it. Hallelujah. Hello, what else was that? What led me to know this gather? Alright, so, maybe you cannot be used of infirmity. Many people said, it must be sickness. People said, I will now glory in my infirmity. But that's not true. I think we've taught it here before that you can't give a blank check to a word in the Bible. That is, I can't say I know the meaning of this word. That is, everywhere it is used in the Bible, it is the same. It's not true. And so if an intelligent Bible student or you aim to be one, you must learn to know how to read words. I've told you before that even dictionaries don't give you the meaning of words. Dictionaries give you the likely meaning of the probable meaning of the word. No dictionaries don't tell you that this is what it means. And that's why dictionaries will now use it in examples for you. Because they are telling you that it might mean this. Not that this is what it always means. That makes sense? Does that make sense? So, words find their expression among other words in the same breath, as it were. Words find their meaning, or their intricate meaning, better still, amidst the atmosphere of everything that is spoken. That is, if I say, I've given an example of the cup of tea before. I go to my boss's office, and I say, I carry the server and the cup, and I say, "Yeah, boss, this is your cup of tea." And then he's on the call, and I say, "What am I eating?" And I say, "Where's my drink?" And I say, "That's your cup of tea." Right? "What am I drinking this morning?" "What am I drinking?" I say, "That's your cup of tea, sir." Or, he then says, "What am I drinking?" And I go, "That's your cup of tea." Aha! You see what I just said? Yeah, what am I drinking? I put the cup of tea there, and I say, "That's a cup of tea." Or I say, "That's your cup of tea." I say, "It sounds empty to me. You are a paranoid person." And that's why he says it to you. "That's your cup of tea, sir." I say, "That's your cup of tea, sir." Now, the same word or the same phrase, but you can see that the context in which it's used gave it meaning. Right? Good. So, just like when I see faith in the Bible, faith. I can't just say faith means something you believe. Evidence of things, sometimes of things hope for. Evidence of things not seen. I say that's faith, faith. I don't hear anything. Faith, faith. Sometimes of things hope for. Evidence of things not seen. Sometimes of things hope for. Evidence of things not seen. I have faith, sometimes of things hope for. Evidence of things not seen. I have sometimes of things hope for. I say, that faith, when you want to have a car, go and buy keys. So you start doing the keys like this. Substance of things so far. Evidence of things not seen. You never see it. Your mate are walking to get a car, you are rolling key about. That's the only guy lied to me that he got admission to you. Substance of things so far, you know. Because the power money, there's something of things so far, you know. I shall one school. I said sometimes you want to lick. Your magic number, substance. Your room number, substance. Back what is substance? Later, when I go, after 2 years, I said, let me thank God. After 2 years, yeah, what was there? He said, there's something of this. He said, you want, what else? You can be a terrible, if you want a wife, start lying around people beside you in the bed. I speak to you. By this time next year, I speak to you. Somebody do, man. Hallelujah. And so when he said faith, faith has been used for prayer in the Bible. Faith has been used for doctrine. Hallelujah. Faith has been used for doctrine. Faith has been used for devotion. Like say a man of unwavering faith is devotion, is consecration. Is it making sense? And so, I can't just say faith. Hallelujah. In fact, love. Faith must be seen in the context. So, infirmities. The mistake many people make right here and say, Paul's thorn in the flesh was a sickness. Because he said, I will glory in my infirmities. It's to say that infirmities will make sickness. That is wrong. Now, in 1 Timothy 5:23, I hope I'm right. When Paul told Timothy and said, drink wine for your stomach sake, right? And for your infirmities, right? 1 Timothy 5:23, I think I'm right. Let me check. 1 Timothy 5:23. Am I right? Okay, yeah, I'm right. Good, thank you. So, he says, drink wine for your infirmities. Good. Now, in that case, you can say sickness. But, how about Romans 8? Romans 8:26. I also want to read that out for me. Yeah. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. Is it our sickness? Eh? Eh? You mean that everybody in Christ has a sickness? Eh? Because whatever infirmity is talking about is common to everybody in Christ. That is the spirit of my infirmity. For what? For we know not what we what we ought to pray for as we ought to, But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I believe you must have studied that yourself. Can see them. So again, the infirmity here is this sickness in Romans 8:26. No. You already explained infirmity. The infirmity will not be the finiteness of the human mind. Right? The finiteness and the inadequacy of the human mind to know. Because it's an infirmity. An inadequacy. So, in this case, the finiteness of the human mind is what is called infirmity. And so when I say, I will glory in my infirmities, or Paul says, not me, Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities, you must ask, what is the infirmity? Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Learning something? Are you learning something? Alright. So let's move on. So go back to 2 Corinthians 12. So verse 9. In verse 8 he said, I besought the Lord thrice. And it's 3 times I asked the Lord to remove this thing from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That was what God said. Then Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may what? Rest on me. Can we read that still together, everybody? In what? In now let me tell you. Now there's a way Paul writes, and I think if you have been listening to me for a while, you will know that you would have seen this trend a lot. The same way he did it in 2 Corinthians 16. The same way he did it in Galatians 5:22, where he was mentioning the fruit of the Spirit, and he said, the fruit of the Spirit is, and many people think that the fruit of the Spirit is 9. And I've told you before, actually the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. In that love is where you find the others. And there's enough Bible evidence to help you see that joy is a function of love.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a style of writing in which you encode every other character in just one single thing. And so Paul would say, in 2 Corinthians 16, for example, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you have thought he was talking about four things, but no, he was talking about just one thing, the doctrine, didaskalia. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. This doctrine will produce reproof. It will produce correction and growth. Right? So, the reproof, the correction and growth is found in the explanation, the doctrine. Not that not that us will use for those four things. Is it making sense? And so it's a style of writing. It is the same thing in Galatians 5, when it says the fruit of the Spirit is, now, see many people say, why do you use this? Because we're talking about love. Hallelujah. Is it making sense? Alright. It is the same thing here. So he said, I will glory in my infirmities. Then he begins to explain the infirmities. If you probably have heard him talk and not read, probably it would have been easier. I can say, I will glory in Arsenal Football Club, in Trophies 1, in coaches, in the spirit family, in the team spirit. Now, am I saying many things in the recent? Am I saying, okay, let me not use Arsenal. Maybe I am angry. And I say, I will glory in, I won't say Chelsea, it's not possible. It's never possible that he glory in Chelsea. That's misglory. But I will glory in Nigeria, in agriculture, in finance, in multiple tribes, in the bond, in unity, in leaders, in, you know what I'm saying? Am I saying many things? I'll glory in many things. I'm glorying what? Nigeria. But I'm not telling you what I am glorying in about Nigeria. Does that make sense? Eh? Can you tell me that if the activity would have been easier? Good. Because infirmity is a blank word. It's gonna be explained. Infirmity is too plain to say infirmities. What is infirmity? Then it begins to say in reproaches. Reproach means they are putting into shame. In what? Necessities. Things that you want or things that you need and you don't have. Or something like that. In persecutions. In what? Distresses for what? So, Paul's infirmity is very clear now. Reproaches. Times when he was put to shame. In distresses. For example, in Acts 14. When he wanted to kill him. That he had to let him down through a basket. He's saying, I will glory in that kind of thing. Remember, when they wanted to kill him also, and the storm also, he had a storm, shipwreck, right? Remember when he had a shipwreck, and he bypassed to click itself to his head, I will glory in those kind of things. Those are my infirmities. Hallelujah. Again, we are teaching Paul's thorn in the flesh and yours. So, because you have yours, and you have to say, oh, well, all right. Paul's thorn in the flesh, oh, no, well, all right, you know. Praise God. And so, you must understand his infirmities. He used the same phrase in 2 Corinthians 11, just a chapter before. One of my favorite verses. In verse 29, 1 Corinthians 7 Corinthians 11, verse 29 and 30. Can we read together, everybody? Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I bore not? If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my what? Infirmities. I will glory of the things that concern my infirmities. Look at what he now mentioned, verse 31. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed evermore, knoweth I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under, you get that? So, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of Damascus with the garrison, desirous to arrest me. That is his infirmities. Verse 33. And through a window in a basket was I laid down by the wall and escaped his hands. Can you see his infirmities? In fact, he mentioned it earlier in verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received by 40 stripes, save one, that is 39 stripes. In verse 25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Try that I suffered shipwreck. In night and the day I have been in the deep, in the waters. In journeys often, in perils of robbers, in perils of in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching suffering, in hunger and thirst, in fasting suffering, in cold and in nakedness. These are those things that I will die. Those things come upon me daily. The care of the church. Then he says, I will glory in my infirmity. Is that sickness? It's clear now. So when he said it's infirmity, stop thinking sickness. He was talking about the distresses, the dangers that came with his preaching of the gospel. Can you ask why he said it was because of the abundance of revelation? Right? Because all the kind of things that he's suffering. Someone doesn't have any revelation, doesn't have need to travel and go and preach. Nobody's going to arrest him. I was telling a believer one time that if you are arresting believers all around the world, they will ask you, where are believers? Where are believers? He didn't understand until the next day. If you don't understand, hallelujah. So, in context, Paul's glory in infirmities was what just explained in verse 23-29 of chapter 11. Imprisonment, stripes, shipwrecks, stonings, not sickness. Did he mention sickness? Did he mention sickness? So, Paul's glory in the flesh, he called it a demonic angel or the messenger of Satan. So, if you are going to put it very well, what will be the thorn in the flesh? What will be the thorn in the flesh? Opposition. Put it very well in proper context. Because of the message of Satan. Will it be people who are steered by Satan to oppose him? Come on. Will it be people who are steered by Satan to oppose him? So by using a messenger of Satan, I've told you that Satan does not operate on the earth without a man. I'm saying it again. Just the same way God needs a man. God wanted to save humanity, he became a man. God needs a man. Healing happens, dear men. These are the spirit that ministered, dear men. The gospel is preached by men. Right? You don't just hear a voice from everyone and say, open. Open to John 3:16. God. And he said, yeah, start speaking. He said, hallelujah. 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 No. The gospel is put by men. So, both God and the devil use men. I think you are missing our teaching and casting out demons. We naked that then, right? We put that very plain there. Alright, good. So, we already understand Paul's in the flesh. But if you don't agree with me, let us look at some references. Numbers 33. Like I said, it's not proper for any pastor to teach his opinion on any subject matter. And so he must have substantial evidence in the scriptures to say this is what I'm saying. Numbers 33. Are you here now? Come on, verse 54 and 55. Pay attention to what you are reading. Once again. And you shall divide land by lots for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance. And to the fewer you shall give less inheritance. And every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falls. According to the child of your father, you shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inheritance of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those who shall be what? Pricks in your eyes and what? Thorns in your sight. And shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. So, here now, when it says there will be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sight, is it talking about sickness? Who is he talking about? People that will trouble you. One evidence. Joshua. Joshua chapter 23. Let's want us to get this clear up so that we can go to the main teaching. Joshua 23. And verse 13, I guess. Let's have verse 12. You there now? Everybody wants to go. Joshua 23:12. Even these that remain among you, I shall make marriages with them, and go to them and they unto you. No person that the Lord your God will not drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges in your sight, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from all this good land which the Lord God has given. Again? scourge in your eyes and thorns in your sight. Sickness of people. Sickness of people. Good.
That's clear, huh?
Okay. Let me just say this. There's no place in the scripture that calls the thorn in the flesh sickness. That's one. Let's give one more. And then we'll just look at it. Judges 2. Verse 3. And then verse 2. And you shall make no league, not Champions League, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their waters. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I have also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as stones in your sight, and their God shall be a snare to you. So, when you stone in the sight, or turn in the flesh, it was talking about people. So it's a figure of speech as it were. We talk about people oppositions.
Does it make sense?
We'll go back to 2 Corinthians 12. Learn something. That is Bible study. So, verse 7 again. Let's give verse 7 again. Now, I think that verse 7 will make more sense to you now. Let's go. We 7 and 8. Oh yeah, I want to go. Wait, come. So, let us be exalted above measure. Is that pride? Eh? Would that be pride? No. So, what is it? How would you have been exalted above measure? In the spirit of the gospel. Good. Alright, so, look at that much more next week. I don't think I have enough time. Look at that. You see, that's what we're studying. Alright, so, it's a letter of exalted above measure that was given to me. A what? A thorn in the flesh. So, we already now know what a thorn in the flesh means, right? Sickness or people? Good. People, men. So, a thorn in the flesh to what? Then a messenger of Satan, he has a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to what? To what? Strike, Abby? To strike me, Above measure. Good. The people that went against Paul, what were they trying to do? To oppose and to stop the spirit of God's word. Is that how we have been exalted above measure? Good. Verse 8. Three times. So that makes sense. So was this sickness, he was begging God that God should take away? Was this sickness? No. So he's begging God that God, can this persecution just stop? Can this distress just stop? Can I just have, I need coat to go and preach. Can I have it? Right? So, he said he begged the Lord thrice. Is it proper to beg God to take away persecutions? Yes. In Romans 15, don't you pray? Romans 15, let's look at it. As I close, pray for me. Romans 15. Verse 30. Pass. Can we read that together, everybody? What? Oh. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord of Jesus, the Lord of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That in the world, deliver from them that do not believe in Jesus, and that my services which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted, that I may come to your joy. But the will of God, and I with you and with God. Did he pray that I should be delivered from men? Yes. Will those be the thorn in the flesh? Exactly. Now pray for me to do, for the love of the Spirit, that may be delivered. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, that the word of the Lord may have free course. The free course of God's word, is that Paul being exalted above measure? And be glorified even as it is with you. Now we verse 2 together. And that we deliver from our suffering, for all are not faith. That we deliver. So, Paul saying, beseeching the Lord to his hands to take it away. Is he? Now, did God answer prayer? Yes. I don't know where we got that impression that when he said it, that by saying my grace is not for you, means that God is not going to take it away. Who told you that?
We explain that very much to NST. Hallelujah. There's something in your head. I want to say, my grace is enough for you. Oh, die, Daddy, yeah. My grace is enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Hallelujah. We need to explain that. But my grace is really in the flesh. I think it's honest, right? It's not sickness. Body have an incurable sickness. I said it's an incurable one. No, we don't have an incurable sickness. It's not that. It was the messenger of Satan. It's not from God. Maybe it's natural. But by then it's God. It's a messenger of Satan. Satan inspiring men to move against God's word. That is the thorn in the flesh. That was first thorn in the flesh. And we have ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have ours. We have our own thorn in the flesh. In distresses, in reproaches, in perils. God said, through the Lord to take it away. God's word is, my grace sufficient for you. Want to show this tonight? Want to show this tonight? Show me what you mean.